we think about death row, I must remind you all who hear these words or read these words, it is not a movie. Don't think of a movie. Instead, imagine a reality where for years, for many years, people are locked down in their cells for 23 hours a day, which began as 24 hours a day on the weekends, and after years and years became 22 hours a day. Also imagine that for what may be the rest of your life, you could not hug, nor kiss, nor caress your children, your wife, your brothers, your sisters, your parents, because non-contact was the rule. What did that mean in the real world, and why was it established? What it means is the state separating you from all people that you love and who love you. And what does it mean? It meant that this physical isolation, this true solitary confinement, separated you from the people who naturally care about you and separated them from you. What's the purpose of that? The purpose is simple: to dehumanize the accused, the death row person, and to separate them from humanity itself. In some states, mostly the South, it has become custom that when a death row prisoner is escorted throughout the prison, the guards usually shout, "Dead man walking. Get out the way. Dead man walking." Now that will remind you of a movie, but that only reminds you of a movie because it happened in real life. To separate people from other people is to deprive people of what it means to be human, to be social. And this is something that has become expertise in American prisons, north, south, east, or west. This tradition continues in much of this country, and it is designed to make people lose hope so that they can be more easily executed, or as the state says, put to death. This, too, is not just a word or a description or even a movie. I've known men who spent time on death row with me who committed suicide for a variety of reasons. Sometimes they were suffering health issues and could not bear to continue to suffer those health issues. Sometimes they were depressed because they knew that they should have gotten a new trial, but instead they got a resentencing here. I knew a guy who I played handball with up SCI Green. He was an excellent young handball player because he played it in the world. And we gave each other a good challenge, the old man and the young guy. And he was in excellent health until his appeal got denied and he was given a life sentence instead of the new trial that he knew he deserved and by law should have gotten. Within a week, he tied himself to some bars in his cell, and committed suicide. For him, a life sentence, what people call slow death row, was too much like death row itself for him to leave death row. It was another kind of death row. A death row on life row. I've met people who I've known on death row who were executed by the government of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. One guy was about two or three cells away from me when we were at Graterford in eastern Pennsylvania. He was an older guy. I sent him a note and said, listen, man, fight your stuff. And he called down and said, Jamal, I'm tired. I got nothing here. I got nothing to live for. I'm ready to go. And so he did. He volunteered to be executed. And the state of Pennsylvania took him up on his invitation. When people are given no way out, given no hope, does it surprise you that men in such conditions commit suicide? If you think about it, this guy committed suicide by the state. The other Puerto Rican that I talked about committed suicide because of his deep disappointment that the state could not treat him according to the law as written in their books. But what was killed was hope, and that's what it was designed to do. That's what death row is designed to be, and that's what death row and slow death row really is, not just in this state, but in several states, in a country called the land of the free. I wanted to give you an inside impression. I hope I have been successful. Love not fear. This is Mumia Abu-Jamal.
These commentaries are recorded by Prison Radio.